Welcome back, Tucson, and the rest of you out there in cyberspace to the Simmons Car Care Shop Talk Show, right here in beautiful Tucson, Arizona, on ESPNTucson.com, 1490 AM, 94.9 HD4 FM. Got it right, Jim. I'm Jerry Simmons, your host. Along with me is my good buddy and my co-host, Jim Mooney from Frontier Towing. For all of your towing needs, been there and towed that. Hello.
That's right. Jerry.
Jim, are you there?
That's right, Jerry. I'm here.
I figured I'd catch you.
Good morning, everybody. Thanks for listening. Appreciate the call-ins. Remember, want to call in, 520-719-1490, 520-719-1490. If you're a right-hand drive enthusiast, call in and help Big Al about his quandary on right-hand drive purchase. You know, you drive a mail truck for a living, that's the guy we need to talk to, because he drives every single day on a right-hand drive. So.
That's right. So
call us in and let us know. Remember, folks, again, we're back for round two. That's super safe Saturday. And, you know, applies to right-hand vehicles as well. I mean, even more so. Move over or slow down if for cars with flashing lights. You know, I can't imagine. You know, I have driven right-hand, and it is challenging as heck. So when John said it took him 3 months, I can believe it, because I was like, wow. So move over and slow down, especially if you see a right-hand drive. Don't snap your neck, you know, when you see the English car driving around there, or whatever it is, Alan's Japanese car. When Alan buys that, Alan, I want you to come down and take me for a ride in that thing, because that'll wake up my day. Move over, slow down if you see a car with flashing lights. That includes mom's grocery getter and law enforcement and fire and anybody else out there on the side of the road. Move over. Watch out for the bicyclists, because it is a really nice morning out there right now. Bicyclists and dog walkers are out. Make sure you watch out for those guys, because they're out in full force right now enjoying the nice morning. It is gorgeous out there today. And for all those of you out there someplace else in the Midwest where it's zero, yes, that's why we live in Tucson, Arizona, because it is a really gorgeous morning. So, yeah. Wham.
Hey, Jerry. Hey, Jerry, we got a caller.
Go ahead.
Okay.
It's Rob. He's got a 2000 Ford Bronco. Wait, no. Jeep Cherokee. That's it. Jeep Cherokee. Sorry.
Rob, good morning. Welcome
to
the Simmons Car
Care
Care Show.
Good morning.
Doing well. Just having fun.
Good.
What can I do for you, buddy?
My 2000 Cherokee 4-liter, when the temperature is above 80 degrees and you park it somewhere, get back in 10 minutes later, it seems to lose the cylinder for a couple minutes until it just gets back to feel like doing something. So I'm wondering if that's some kind of vapor lock.
No, it's a 2000. What motor you have?
That's a 4-liter six. No, it's a straight six.
Okay, straight six. All right. How many miles you got on it?
That is 140.
140,000?
Yeah.
It's just broke in. When's the last time you had the carbon cut off the top of the cylinders?
Now, that I cannot tell you, because I bought it with about 60,000 on it and haven't had anything done to it.
Okay. There's a procedure. It's called a motor vac. Now, I don't know if your shop you're using right now has a motor vac machine, and what it's designed to do is clean the fuel delivery system, the whole system. And in addition to that, it goes inside the cylinders, and it cuts the soft carbon off the cylinders. Now, the soft carbon acts just like a sponge. And also, your injectors can coke. You'll get a coking on the bottom of the injectors when you shut it off, when they need to be cleaned, okay? And they don't shut off properly. And then when you get ready to start it up again, and it does manage to push past the blockage at the end of the injector, it goes to the soft carbon, which it's like a sponge. And it takes a moment to get it in there. And then when it first fires off, it is dropping a cylinder because it hasn't got the distribution correct yet. But then it should catch up and burn off, and it shouldn't take more than about maybe 2-3 seconds to clear. Now, how close was I on that?
That was real close, except for the 2 or 3 seconds. Sometimes it takes 2 minutes. I run at about 1,500 RPM in neutral, and it seems to clear it up, and then I'm off to the races.
Well, it sounds like to me that you've got injector problems, and you got a high carbon buildup on top of that motor. You can go down and you can buy stuff like 44K, which is by BG Chemicals, and pour it in. That's the slow way of doing it. Or you can invest some money in it, take it into somebody that's got a motor vac machine like a Parker or an automotive specialist or Simmons, and you can get the thing done. What we've seen is we've seen them come in so clogged up that it takes at least 2 runs, and then when you get it back, you think somebody rebuilt my engine. That's how bad I've seen those things come in, and the results are leaving. One thing you can do is right? That's where I would start. If you've changed, you've checked everything, it just doesn't make sense to you. I used to have a saying, says, if in doubt, motor vac the son of a gun and let's see what it does. And that has been to solving the problems on something that was not shedding. I mean, it just wasn't running right. And the key to soft carbon buildup and injector stuff is like any time, but especially in the morning when it's cool or cold, and you'll fire it up and it's just temporary. And it just takes a little bit longer to start. And then when it first starts up, it just a little bit rough. That's the start of this. And then it progresses on to what you just described to me. Okay?
Okay.
So
Sounds good, sir. Thank you. I would give that a shot.
Don't go to climbing in a bottle of mechanic in a jug until you get that thing clean. Because my money says that that thing hadn't had the carbon cleaned off of it in 140,000 miles, and it's supposed to be done between 7,500 and 10,000 because carbon starts building at 7,500 miles in an engine. Okay?
Okay. Okay, sir. Thank you.
Thanks, Rob. Good luck, buddy.
Thank you.
Uh-huh. Yes, Jim. What'd you say?
That sounded right on target to me.
Well, that's what the people that have these cars need. Yeah. Keep going.
Get that soft carbon off there. People don't understand how much fuel that really takes up. And, if you could pull the head off, and clean the soft carbon, which is pretty evasive. No longer soft at that point. It's like rock. So you're going to be chiseling it off or grinding it off or whatever. Yeah, but... when you do the motor vac, Jerry, people, it's really difficult to explain to somebody how much power and energy there is in the combustion chamber during ignition. We're talking thousands of degrees, and we're talking lots of pressure. So it lends itself to doing the cleaning properly. Lends itself to a very effective method in lieu of the old school way of pulling the head and grinding it off with a wire wheel or a grinder or something or sandblasting. So that's
in 1980, Toyota actually, I think this piece of equipment was designed. I know it came from Mexico into the U.S. because of bad gas in Mexico. And then it gets into the U.S. I remember when it come in. Not that I'm old or anything, but I remember when it hit the U.S. market in Tucson, Arizona, because me and a buddy of mine, we were debating on who's going to buy the first machine, and because that's the way we do it. It was his time, so his turn to buy the machine. So he bought the machine. We did 88 vehicles between his shop and my shop, and then I bought the machine. And then I bought another machine. He bought another machine. So we were running 2 and 3 machines at a time. This stuff, if you can keep the fuel delivery system clean on a vehicle. If it wasn't meant to be clean, why didn't they make it dirty before they sold it to you? Think about that. That's how I think about it. And the MotorVac system on a vehicle, if you have everything else in place and, you know, you don't have any holes burnt on the top of the pistons, which you can if you have a Ford and you build up too much, early model Ford, 302 especially, you build up carbon on the back of the valves, and all of a sudden it blows a hole in the, past the valve into the top of the piston and down the side of the piston. And we've seen a lot of those. And then we found out, okay, if you keep that carbon cut off of these Fords, you can really save somebody a lot of money. And that's exactly what we started doing. We tell them, here, this is what we found. And we actually found some backup photos and stuff, actual photos of it, actually cleaning this stuff off and showing what it looks like after it's clean and prior. But the telltale story is on the MotorVac machine, mine, as far as I know, it's still there. It's a guarantee. If that MotorVac doesn't work on your vehicle and you have somebody like a Simmons or a Parker or automotive specialist, somebody that's used to using a MotorVac machine, if it doesn't work, the people at MotorVac will reimburse you and you can just give them the money back, give your client the money back, and they'll reimburse you for the material and labor. And I thought, okay. And I don't know how many I've done. It'd take a while to go back to computers to find out how many MotorVacs we've actually done, but it's well into the thousands. And I don't remember anybody having a problem with it. I remember a lady chewing me out because I didn't want to do it because I thought it her vehicle, which was a Toyota, she drove it back and forth to Phoenix twice a week, and I thought that was enough to keep it, the carbons and stuff out. And she finally, the little short lady, got right up in my face, and I'm 6 foot. She got right up in my face, and she said, Jerry, I want a MotorVac done on my Toyota van. Are you going to do it or not? Yes, ma'am. I did it. 2 weeks later, she called me back, and she said her fuel economy had increased 2.5 miles per gallon on that. Wow. And I said, well, maybe you're just not driving it the same way you did. And she said, nope, I'm driving exactly the way I did. I said, yes, ma'am. Thank you very much. I appreciate that. And but I tell people not everybody qualifies for a MotorVac. You need to explain how many miles you got on. Oh, I got 100. No, you're not gonna get me to give you a MotorVac because it's a waste of your money. It doesn't start building to around 7,500. Now with that said, here's the exception. Direct injected. My 2017 Ford with the EcoBoost, direct injected. We had MotorVac guy come out with the chemicals and a TV. Put a little TV down the cylinder holes. We might turned it on, recorded it. Red sitting there watching a monitor on top of it. And I don't think we had but about 1,800 miles on that thing. And it had already started showing carbon buildup. And on the direct injected, you're looking down the cylinders and the back of the valves and stuff. And nothing is going to the back of the valves. The only thing that goes to the back of the valve is if you flush it through the intake. And at that time, when that thing first came out, people were scrambling going, okay, how do we service the back of the valves? How do we service the back of the valves? And we did that machine. It did have carbon buildup at 1,700 miles. And I'm going, wow. So on the direct injected vehicles, you need to get it in and at least have the intake, flood the intake, clean the carbon, goes down to the back of the valves, and then let it burn out, let it clean out. But if you'll read your owner's manual, it'll say at every oil change, add a can of gasoline treatment, Ford number, blah, 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 GM number, blah, 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 Chrysler number, blah, blah, blah. Everybody's saying, oh, That's the same thing here probably 20 years ago. They said, do not put additive in the Chevrolet. Malibu, to be exactly. And then a week after that was out, he'd come out and said, you may have to use an additive in this motor because of these symptoms. That was within a week of said, do not add it. And people said, Jerry, what are they doing? I said, it's a practice. It's a practice. They keep practicing until they get it right. But soft carbons has been around a long time, longer than the motor vac has. And people used to use brake fluid and pour it down the top of the carburetor to cut the carbon off to keep from pulling the cylinder heads. Now, you better be a genius. You better know what you're doing when you're feeding. I seen it done with a can of brake fluid and a guy's thumb over the end of the cap. Pulled the cap off and put his thumb out. And I sat there and watched him move his thumb, and it drip, 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 drip. As soon as it started changing, it puts you down, close off the flow of the, I mean, no high-tech stuff at all. It was his thumb. And if he had a sneezed, he'd have dumped half that bottle in there. So we've come a long way, baby. So you can cut it and then water. We put a water injection on a 440 for a guy driving a 68 three-quarter ton 440, and he is a rock hound. He went. In fact, he was up at Mount St. Helen when it took off, when it blew up, and he wasn't quite there. He was able to stay away from it. But anyway, he put a water injection on there because he read somewhere, if you put a water injection on, you'll get better fuel economy. I said, okay. He had the kit. I said, can you put it on? Yep, we can put anything on anything. Give me enough time. Does it come with instructions? Oh, yeah. Okay, good. We'll try it. Put it on there. He had a water reservoir. He squirted that thing in there, and he said what it did is it kept the carbon off the engine, and it kept the engine running cooler when he was pulling with a bed and little short camper shell full of rocks. I have no idea what he weighed, but he sure had the rear springs on a negative arch when he pulled in. But no, that there's all sorts of stuff out for carbon removal. You can go to 44K by BG Chemicals. Go to bgboygolf.com. Read the technical information and on the materials and stuff. Everything that I use, I've already tested, and I'm trying to give you what you can read up before you invest the money, because 44K is not cheap. It's about, probably now it's about $30 a can, but I will tell you it's the best on the market. And you can read the technical data on it. You can see the pictures where they've actually tested it, BG Chemicals, and it'll give you an idea how to go. If you're going with the algae control, go to powerservice.com. Powerservice.com and look for the algae control. And it'll give you the technical data on it. That's for you guys with diesels that tells me, oh, you don't have any. You burn too much diesel fuel. You don't have any of that. And I'm going to call, no, yes, you do. I know, because Jerry said the exact same thing that you did. And my technician brought me a container of where they drained it out in a little clean container and brought it to me, and it looked like jello water. Looked like jello water in the bottom end of it. So, yes, you do, and it needs to be taken care of. And no, you're not going to hide it. I don't care if you burn how much fuel you burn in it. It is in your tank, and especially in Tucson, Arizona, it grows because the heat in the bottom and the tank position above the ground, everything is hot. So it will have algae in it, and no, the only way you're going to do it is use a good, and the reason I said Power Service is because BG Chemical Company uses a Power Service algae control for their tanks. That's what BG uses, and they're huge, and so is Power Service. But Power Service evidently has a pretty good patent on something that works extremely well. But that'll work good for you diesels. And diesel cars, diesel trucks, I don't care if it's a diesel, You're going to have allergy. It's the nature of the beast, just the nature of the beast. Jim will have allergy over where he's at with his 18-wheelers, and he knows it because he treats it. Isn't that right, Jim?
Oh, my gosh. So when you finally decide that, you know, you have algae, because it grows in the water in the tank, okay? I know you don't think there's water in your diesel, but there is, which is water particularly hard on diesel injectors, by the way. When you do finally treat your diesel fuel, you know, you need to drain it. Because, like Jerry said, that jello water, and it's like this white, yellowish, milky crap that you pull out, right? And it comes out. And it once you kill it, it releases itself into the diesel. And you can rest assured that you are going to need about a dozen fuel filters to get all that out. You're going to plug them up, I mean, right now. 5 minutes, they'll plug up. Oh, wait, I have two filters. Oh, yes, yes, you do. Yes, you lucky dog, you have a primary and a secondary. Oh, geez, what's a primary filter cost? I don't know. On a Dodge, from Dodge, I don't know, $65? So, yeah, get ready. It's you're going to, you know, so 65 times 10, that's $650 for fuel filters. Wow. So it behooves you to drain the tank and get the garbage out of there. I don't know. Suck it clean. You know, here's what I know. $4 a gallon, right? 20 gallons, that's $80. 10 filters at 65, $650. I'll take the 80 over the 650. Suck that puppy clean as you can get it. You're still going to have to change your filters because you can't get it all out. I know, because I got big trucks, and I can reach in there with my hand and scoop the stuff out, but I can't get it out. So
if you're lazy and you want to clean it out, take Jim's advice. Go buy about a six-pack of filters, and then go down to, I think it's Arizona Petroleum, where they have biodiesel.
Oh, right.
You can put 5 gallons of 5% biodiesel fuel in your Ram truck, my 18, I can put 5 gallons in it, and it will actually clean the tank out. It'll clean the injectors out. If you put 20% in it, it'll clean it out too. Do not put 99% biodiesel in anything. I don't care what it is. Just if you think you've got allergy problems, don't put that stuff in, because I did it on PEMA Association of Governments, Clean Cities Manager, Colleen told me, do not put 99% in it. And it was a 99 Dodge diesel. And I thought, it only has about 90,000 miles in it. What could happen? Four fuel filters to 3/4 of a tank of 99. It took me 4 fuel filters. Every time when I would try to get it to the shop, sometime it'd go in and sound like it'd run on one cylinder. I mean, it was that you could pull that thing out and dump the garbage out of the filter. It was incredible. And so I had to call Colleen and said, well, unfortunately, or fortunately, whatever, you were right. You were correct. And so I tell people, if you've got one that you haven't been getting the garbage out of the fuel tank on a regular basis, do not put 99 in it. Most of the trucks, like mine, is say you can put 20% in it. Yeah, I'll put 20% in it. You know, I can put it in. It does. It's better lube. It's better lube. And that's the other thing. When we lost all the lubricity in the diesel fuel, what was it, 96 or something like that? Or earlier, way back, they took the diesel fuel, the lube out of that stuff. That replaces that. You can take 5% of that and go back to 1996 standard of the lubricity inside the diesel fuel with only 5% bio. Done it. It works. But now, you know, there's so much stuff keeps changing, and the vehicles keep changing. But time keeps changing. We keep getting more time. I mean, more stuff. It takes up our time, and then we start forgetting some of the stuff. And pumping diesel fuel or pumping gasoline in a car should be a simple thing to do. And you go, you pull the trigger, you let it fill up. Okay, pay it, and then go on. Well, end result. Well, you're going to burn it out. It's got a bunch of garbage in the fuel. Did you clean it out? Have you done it at every 5,000 miles with a can of additive like Ford Motor Company comes in from the stunt? And by the way, that is up front. That stuff comes in, and it's a preventive. That stuff is preventive. That mechanic in a bottle is preventive type stuff, and it will work. It'll keep it down, and it doesn't say that you won't have to do a motor vac. It'll just say, okay, I'm going to protect you to keep it from getting to that point so that when you do the motor vac, it's going to be more efficient, more cleaner, and it'll keep the vehicle running better longer because you've done a little bit of preventive maintenance in there. So, you know, but you got to realize a new car with everything in it running new is going to be more efficient than an older car that's been neglected. If you don't keep that fuel delivery system, it's going to cost you a lot of money for gasoline, aggravation because it's not going to be a dependable vehicle very long. And when I talk about preventive maintenance, I'm talking about cooling systems. Cooling systems in Arizona, we don't have heat here in Arizona. I mean, you can go down the freeway, it's only freeway's about 150, 160 degrees, and that's about how far off the crankcase? 8 inches, maybe 10. You got a lifted one, it's about 2 foot, but you still have a lot of heat, a lot of excessive heat. And when that engine heats up, people, so does the transmission because it goes right through the same cooler up on the front. And so now you got a problem. So when we say, as Scott Parker would say, or Scott's over at Parker, do a little bit of maintenance all the time. But if you want to find somebody that knows a lot about that garbage in a fuel tank, just call Jim up. He don't have anything else better to do. He can sit there and tell you right, everything's going to happen to that. But it's he's just a workaholic. He won't mind it. He's been there. He sees that all time, not just every day. He sees it all time every day. There is a difference. And when you neglect that thing, I will tell you from seeing it, you do it on these direct injection vehicles, by the time you get to the 100,000-mile warranty that they put on that motor, you're going to have some money that's spent in it. And when you read that owner's manual, if it says put a can of this detergent in it, you better do what it says because it has it marked in there at intervals you're supposed to use it. And you do not want to go into a little EcoBoost engine. Ask Brian Fuller at Automotive Specialist, Mr. Tesford on this. But don't do it if you've had a good day because it's going to mess up his day and he's going to mess up your day because he's going to tell you exactly what he thinks of it. These things, if I had a this is a quote. If I had a EcoBoost like you've got, Jerry, I'd be changing oil on that son of a gun every 3,000 miles. Okay. Because of the timing change. But anyway, all right. Go ahead, Jim. Your turn.
You talk about the diesel and the algae. So if you're a diesel aficionado and you like diesels and you want to keep in the diesel realm, remember that in 2027, vehicles with your manufactured engine in 2027 are going to have more stringent emission requirements. So I don't know how they're going to do it, folks. I really don't. Without everything that's on there, I don't know how they're going to do it. But I can tell you what's going to happen. I'm not a rocket scientist, but I can tell you what's going to happen because this is what happens today. If your vehicle is driving along and it for some reason, the 18 computers on your vehicle determine that the emissions are incorrect, it's going to turn it off because that's what it does. We call it derate mode. Now, it goes 5 miles an hour and derates and goes and says, and of course, it gives you the convenient label. Please consult your dealer. Why? Because, well, you know, we want to come back because, I mean, we're going to tell you how much it's going to cost. Then we're going to fix it. We're going to fix it, and then they're going to tell you how much it costs because you don't even want to know how much it costs to begin with. So we're just going to fix it and tell you how much it costs later. and then you can then you get a new mortgage on your home. But, yeah, the new emissions that are going to come out, which are going to be much more stringent for diesels because, well, we don't like diesels and we don't like that stuff because it pollutes. The first thing it's going to do is shut the truck off. It's going to shut the diesel motor off because what we know, what we've determined, we being me talking, you know, about, you know, the government entity that oversees this says, if the vehicle's not running, no emissions are produced. Everybody will give that. If there's no fuel burning, then there's nothing running, no emissions can be produced. So if it can't produce emissions properly, the remedy to that is to shut it off. Not so good for diesels. Really good for tow trucks. Tow trucks like that option. You can shut the vehicle off. You can't go nowhere. You know, hey, good for you. Get a tow truck towed in. Why? Well, because at least we only got, you think of the fuel mileage you get when I'm towing you in, right? Not burning any fuel at all. You know, don't worry about the tow bills. Worry about you're not burning any fuel. So if you're looking at a new diesel, if you're thinking about buying a diesel or upgrading a diesel, do it. And you want to stay with diesel. Not that diesel's bad. It has its good and bad flaws. Just like Jerry was talking about the algae and water in the diesel. Water is particularly hard on injectors. Water as it heats up and decomposes during combustion, it's super hard on injectors. It's super hard on the injector tips. It causes all kind of erosion. I know you wouldn't think so, but it does because of the forces that occur during a combustion cycle. But that being said, new diesels are going to be much more difficult to maintain, would be my guess, because things are going to be so tight that anytime there's an issue or a flaw, it's just going to shut off. It's just going to turn off. So when we talk about, you know, decarbonizing a motor, you might have to do it every 2,000 miles or every oil changes might have to drop, you know, from now you were running paraffin-based oils, now you're running synthetic, and maybe there's something else, and maybe there's a new additive to make it work. You know, maybe it's no longer the diesel emission fluid. Maybe there's another additive. Oh, I can tell you what it's going to be. This is what they're going to do. They're going to go back to 2013, and they're going to say, hey, you know what we need to do? We need to add more EGR to the motor because you know, ingesting dirty air into a motor and helping it to help it reduce emissions is the way to go. You know, so we take the exhaust and we turn it back around through the turbocharger, through the intercooler, and come back into the motor, and we'll reburn it so that we can get the nitrous oxide emissions down because the DEF just didn't do enough, so we're going to do more EGR because they like EGR. They like doing EGR. I don't ask me, but I mean, that's just the current model. They like doing EGR. So if you don't think that a system is going to get dirty by running a dirty exhaust through it, yeah, it gets really nasty. Or go back to the cleaning the intake system, you know, because exhaust gas in an intercooler plugs them up. They get that radiator gets plugged, you know, basically that air cooler gets completely plugged up with exhaust gas. Turbocharger bearings get really nasty. Oil gets completely filthy. I mean, and right now, because you're dumping exhaust on it. You know, you're not evacuating out the motor. You're cycling it back through again. I don't know why we just don't put a big tank on the back and just catch the exhaust and then take it someplace and put it. I don't know. Maybe that's what they'll do. Maybe they'll just catch all the exhaust that comes out. I couldn't tell you. What I know is it's going to be a lot more expensive. It's going to be a lot more expensive. It's going to be a lot more headache. Why? Because that new stuff comes out and everybody's going to say, oh, this is fantastic. And then, hey, we forgot to take this into account. Why? Because we needed to meet the deadline. And trust me, there's people working on this right now. Guys at Cummins, guys at Detroit, guys at Volvo, They work on this stuff all day long, you know. So they're not excited about it, but they're going to work on it. They're going to come up with some solution. And you know what's going to be? More expensive motor at the initial purchase price, more expensive to maintain, more expensive to operate. So if you're thinking about buying a diesel truck in with a year manufacturer 2027, and that means a truck with a motor built in it for 2027 emissions, that could be a 2026 truck, in heavy duty, medium and heavy duty class, a truck built in 2024 is a 25 vehicle. So if you buy a 26 vehicle, that's a 27 compliant vehicle. So that means you got to buy one next year to beat the new mandates. Next year we're in 24. That means this year and next year. We're halfway through this year. We're halfway through April. We got 8 months left, and we'll be in 25, and then you got to hit it before January of 26 to beat 2027 compliancy. That's not very far away.
Okay,
when it comes to looking at equipment.
Now you've depressed me. You made me depressed.
I'm sorry. I just want you to
know. No, you're not. I know. This is an information show. Sometimes we just don't like to hear the information, like what we didn't do to maintain a car, and then now we got to pay big bucks. But if you're looking for a good paint job or repair center for automotive, auto body, and collision, Spectrum Minor Road Auto Collision, 520-744-4454. 520-744-4454. And if you keep that number, write it down so that when you have a misfortune, like you decide to run into Jim or something like that, then you'll need a good place to take it, to have it straightened out, yours and his. Spectrum Minor Road Auto Collision, 520-744-4454. Get an insurance claim number. Call them down there. Talk to them. Give them the claim number and where the vehicle is, and have a Frontier tow and pick it up and bring it in. And then you can go ahead and they'll take it from there. It sure does take a lot of the stress out of it. And for you weekend warriors out there chasing parts today, Merle's Automotive, merlesauto.com. Go to merlesauto.com, pick up a location nearest you, and see, they can help you locate a part, and they'll help you find it. They've been excellent with helping Simmons Automotive Specialties, Parker Automotive, find parts. You know, we don't have time to sit there and make 1,500 phone calls. They will do it. And they've been excellent counter people, just been doing business with them more years than I can even count now. Excellent place, merlesauto.com. They got it scattered all over the state. So when you're thinking about, or you're out rolling and you run into a problem and you think you're going to need a car part, go to the website, find out what's near. Find out where the nearest Merle's is, because they're connected pretty doggone well. They have been. They've been around a long time. Parker Automotive, 5101 East Speedway. Been talking about them today. 520-323-1960. Excellent. Automotive Repair Center. Independent Repair Center. Been homegrown. Good people. Beautiful place. 5101 East Speedway. They've got the high-tech equipment. They got the diagnostic equipment, anything you need. They also have a line of tires, or they do tires. And every now and then they have a couple of cars for sale if you're looking for a Honda. He loves Hondas. He's kind of like me. I like them too, because they've been a good car for me. LensAutoBrokerage.com. If you're looking for a pre-owned vehicle, LensAutoBrokerage.com. Brokerage means that they can sell new cars too. So if you're looking for a new car and you don't want to go through the hassle of, or go through the experience of getting a new vehicle, just call Lens and tell them exactly what you're looking for, including the color, and let them do the shopping for you. And call you when they get it. Call you when they find it. Because a lot of these cars, you know, they'll advertise them, then you go get them, and they're not there. So you're going to have somebody chase it down anyway. LensAutoBrokerage.com. DesertRV.com, specializing in toy haulers. And these websites are very easy to navigate, by the way. Automotive specialist, Mr. Test First Don't Guess, Brian Fuller. I talk to Brian on a weekly basis, and he's still active out in the middle of the garage. I think he'd rather work on the garage and make a bank deposit. But he is really good still with diagnostics. He's still very active in it. He still just goes and gets it. Amount of information he has is pretty incredible because he sees a variety of cars during the week, cars, pickups, diesels. You know, he works on everything. He's located on the northwest side, and he's at 3611 West Ina Road, Suite 101, Meredith and Ina in the Bookman's Plaza. His phone number is 572-1734. 520-572-1734. Brian's cell number is 520-237-3852. His website is automotivespecialistaz.com. automotivespecialistaz.com. And he's got a good website. It'll fill you in on any questions you may have. So let's see. I think I got everybody covered so they don't shoot me Monday morning. Simmons Drive Shaft Specialist. That's exactly what Simmons Drive Shaft Specialist is. 520-884-0217. It's a drive shaft specialty shop. You got a problem with your drive shaft, just dial the number. They'll take it from there. All right.
Hey, Jerry, we got a caller.
Okay.
He's got a 2011 Toyota Prius. Stand by.
Hey, Jerry. I listened to your show for a long time, and I drive back and forth between Sierra Vista and Tucson every day, and the Prius has about 205,000 miles. It's been losing mileage, and it's not running quite like it used to. I did all the things that you told me to do, change all the fluids, transmission. I used the additive, not every, but, you know, a couple times, four or five times a year. I use it. Maybe I should use it more. But what else should I do? How about coil packs, wires? What can I do to get my mileage back up in this thing?
All right. You got 205,000. Have you ever had the carbon taken off the little engine?
I have not. But I heard your story about the lady a couple times, and I was thinking about doing that.
Yeah, quit thinking about it and go ahead and do it. Because I will tell you right now that it is plugged up. And if it hadn't been for Toyota, I wouldn't even known what a motorvac system was. That's how bad the Toyotas used to be. Not because they were bad motors. It was because they were the first ones that started making the Richter scale on carbon, bad carbon. So, but I would try that. At 205,000 miles, I think I would have it done. A motorvac system put on there. You can use 44K, but you would probably have to use about, about $300 worth of 44K. And then it would take you about a year and a half to get the carbon under control while it's replacing the carbon you're taking off with the other carbon. Because the
so I should definitely do that before the coil pack. Before the coil packs and the coil packs and the plugs, I should do the motorvac first.
What year? This is 2011, right?
Yeah, I bought it
used.
If you do the
motorvac on that thing, you may not even need a coil pack. Who diagnosed it as a coil pack bad?
I just asked Google what size you do to revive an engine on a car, and that's what it came up with. That and a fuel filter. But it doesn't have a fuel filter. It has a screen over the you know, itself. It doesn't have a inline filter. Just has a screen.
It just has a little screen.
Right.
Yeah. That little screen gets dirty also. But if you use when you do the motor back on that little motor, it will cover your fuel delivery system. Okay? It will clean all of that stuff. It'll clean that little screen. It'll clean everything.
Well, I called Simmons and got a price on it already. So it's just a matter of me getting time to get up here and take it over there and get it driven back to my work. I work in Oracle, you know, so I'm not going to drive up from Sierra Vista. I would probably have to do it on a day that I was already here. So, Right. Anyway, okay. Well, thank you for the advice. I love your show. It's kept my car running better. And thank you, guys.
Put you a can of fuel injection cleaner in that little motor and then run it back and forth to Oracle. If it's going to help it, because that sustained running at operating temperature is where the maximum cleaning power from a bottle works. You can put STP gas treatment in it, about $7, and it's ranked number 2 as far as cleaning. A little can of STP, you know, it's been around forever. Try that. All right.
I've been putting the stuff from Chevron in it. I forgot the name of that, but I always go to Pi.
Tecron.
They have
Tecron.
A bottle.
It's called Tecron. Tecron is 4.
Yeah, Tecron.
Yeah.
Oh.
And I don't know the difference, but next time you go in and compare the STP gas treatment with the Tecron, see which one's the cheapest. Which one's the cheapest, go ahead and run it. Because
STP is the cheaper one,
It's so close. You know, it just needs to be in there to work on that little stuff, because when that engine don't run full time all the time because of the electric backup. And
right.
But the electric don't run all the time because you got the engine. And everybody's got these cars, and I know one lady that's had all since they first come out all the way to right now. She has one of each, and she just loves them to death. And she's had no battery issues, no problem whatsoever. But she maintains the gun like she's supposed to.
I think I have the second hybrid in Pima County. I bought a Camry back in 2007. And I ran the wheels off that thing. It ran 250,000 miles, and it didn't break down itself. We got into an accident. So, you know, they run forever. They do run forever. So
Until you killed it, huh?
Well, the person who shouldn't have had a license killed it by running a stop sign and hit my wife and kid. But we won't talk about that. That was a lawsuit.
No,
anyway,
hopefully your wife and kids are okay. So.
Oh, no, they were fine. They were fine. They were fine.
Oh, good. Good. All right. Well, appreciate the call. And but don't start replacing modules and stuff like that until you find out exactly what it is. And, buddy, you just described another motor vac system. Okay? Carbon buildup. Carbon buildup makes it do a lot of weird stuff. All right. 719-1490. We've got 10 minutes left. By the way, how about those speed tickets? Tucson Speedway, family four packs. How many we got left? Anybody know?
I wasn't aware we had tickets.
I
Hello?
I wish I knew, but I don't know.
Okay, it's a family four pack. There was 4 of them for 2 hours. So, you know, if you... Give them a call anyway at 520-719-1490. That's for the big race this weekend. It's a fan appreciation day, and they're normally set up with little special stuff. It's presented by Russet Southwest Industrial Supply Company. And it'll be modified, super late models, pro stock, hobby stocks. The weather's going to be perfect. Callers number 1, 2, 3, 4, depending on how many tickets we got left. 1, 2, 3, 4. They're family four packs. One ticket gets 4 people in. And I got 4 of these son of a gun. So give us a call down here, 520-719-1490, and have a good, fun Saturday night on Simmons Car Care Show. Okay. Where are we at, Jim? I'm looking at my notes, and my notes, you know, I guess I'm going to have to learn how to, you know, I'm still on the rip-offs that they have. For you people who are getting AARP, if you don't know anything about rip-offs and fraud schemes that they've got going, I'll tell you something. I thought I was up on it until I started to see it's just like everything, what I've always said. Every time I think I got the answer, somebody changes all the questions. And that's exactly what these fraud schemes are. They're the most automated individual thieves that I've ever seen in my life. It makes you afraid to do anything. So, but anyway, the more information you know, people, the better off you're going to be. Trust me on this one. I had been compromised 5 times on one of the big commercial credit cards. And last time I was compromised on that, I bought $603 worth of cell phones. And why the $3? Somebody downloaded a song on a commercial credit card. And they asked me, and I said, I don't even know how to do it. And that was the name of the game. But they took care of it. But that's how quick that they can do stuff like that. And for the ones of you that own homes that are paid for, you might want to make sure you get some title. I got a title lock put on mine because it's easy. I mean, there is so much stuff that they can do to steal your title on your home, your mortgage on your home, and go get a loan on it or sell your house. So title insurance, you might want to check that out too, because that hadn't been around that long. But, I mean, as far as the title theft and the notification on it, and then I would check that out too, because that's a big. If you're just paid off your mortgage and all of a sudden you find out that you've got a second mortgage on that thing for a couple of hundred thousand, you won't even know about it until somebody gets ready to take your house. And they've already got the money and gone. So that might be something that you'd want to consider too. I'm also trying to remember what mine cost. Huh?
Also,
go ahead, Jim.
Pima County has offers an alert service for home titles. So if you go to their website, they can instruct you on how to do. If there's activity on your title, they can email you, or I think it's email or text. If there's some type of activity on your home title, that's a free service they offer.
Do you have that phone number?
I don't off the top of my head. I think it's just if you go to Pima County's website, Pima County's the assessor's office is what it is. It's Pima County assessor's what it is. And you can sign up for the title. There's a title alert. I forget what it is. I just know they do it. So I apologize. I should be more prepared. Title service.
No, you give me enough information where I can even track it back on that, because I don't feel like buying another house or getting another house right now. And to get this thing out, I mean, my Lord, that is horrible. And, you know, it's hard enough to buy a house now. But what if somebody steals yours? You know, I could go to jail for something over that.
The way it works.
I don't want to do
if you
that.
Just look up Pima. Yeah, just look up Pima County Recorder. Just go to do a search for Pima County Recorder, and it says fraud notification information, and then it gives you a process to get notified. And 2-step process it says. So you go there, you click on a link, and you got to have your address so they know what you're looking for, and then it'll alert you if they're doing something, if there's some type of activity. So activity could be a background check or like a credit check, you know, so you could see that. But if, you know, the one I always wanted to see, but I don't think they do, is, geez, can you tell me when you're going to raise my taxes rather than telling me after you raise them? Because, you know, because I'm going to go up just because by default we're going to raise them just because, well, it's the right thing to do, you know.
Okay.
With
a 46% inflation rate over the last 3 years, I mean, you go, and that don't include gasoline or beef or something like that.
Food.
Oh, holy cow! So you need to really pay attention to this stuff, because all of a sudden you're in the middle of it. I looked at that, I was shocked. $2 billion in COVID fraud money paid out. And they recouped over like $1.2 billion or something like that. And I'm going, people, do you know how many zeros are in a billion? And they got then that's times two. That's like having a trillion. And, you know, and I had to look that up to find out how many zeros it had in that. But, I know what else I wanted to talk about. Just a little bit, a little heads up, is vacation. When you're on vacation, and you get ready to leave your house, don't post it. Don't, okay, I'm going to Tennessee. I'm going, Jerry's going to Tennessee this week, and I'm going to visit my brother and blah, 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 blah. I'll be gone for 10 days. Then people say, well, let's see, he's easy enough to find. Let's go find out. Refrain from posting details or photos of your trip online until after you're home. These days, with the ease of smartphones, it's all too tempting to check in online and instantly post photos to social media, all while in a taxi or waiting in line at an airport. But doing so only broadcasts to the world that you're not home. Thus, your house may be an easy target for burglars. So, I mean, when you look at it, all right, and don't carry anything important in your backpack. And as when we were in the military, they told us when we were in foreign.
Uh-huh. Oh, he's just talking. Keep going.
Go ahead. Okay, protect access to your devices and accounts. When you get ready to go, take a photo of all your credit cards and put it in your desk at home, lay it on top of the counter or something like that so you'll have it. In fact, that's not a bad plan for even when you're not. Just take a copy of your credit cards so that if anything does go down, front and back, so if anything does go down, then you'll have a copy of it at the home. Separate your money. Keep different types of money in different places while traveling. Most of us use a wallet that holds not only our cash, but all of our credit cards and our ID. Okay? In the military, they used to tell us when you're out traveling, put your billfold in your front pocket. So, all right, we're out of time, Jim. You got any parting words? It takes less than 15 seconds.
Well, thanks, everybody, for listening. I really appreciate it. If you got any questions, give us a call. We're happy to help you. Call me at the shop. Everybody have a great weekend. Jerry, you
have a great weekend. I'll be waiting. If anybody getting these tickets, you'll pick them up after we call. So thank you much. God bless. Bye-bye.